cliffcentral.com.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to our Business Masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the Finance Team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio as part of our panel today is Safia Boulay.
Wow, Richard.
I'm really getting tankers for today. Safia Boulay of New Habits, Making Shift Happen.
Hi, Richard.
Thanks
I
for
see
being
my name shifted.
Your name shifted slightly there. In this first half hour, our business skill conversation is brought to you in association with USB Ed. Last week, Mike Gee, an expert on strategy and marketing, was with us talking about the importance of selecting target markets and target segments. Today's theme is a little different. It's about managing real estate in your business. The whole question, should I be renting, should I be buying, and everything else associated with that. Our guest today is Richard Shambari. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Richard, and also Shafi.
Richard is an economist by background and a facilitator with USB Ed. So here we go. I guess the question is, I've just started my business. I'm all excited. I now need to put my business down somewhere. And I guess I'm looking for my first premises, I guess, for lack of a better word. What are the issues I should be considering, Richard, when I'm getting into that space of I need, let me call it, and I'm always wary of using the word office space because some people need different, you know, they need retail space, yeah, whatever, but let's call it I need commercial space
you
for
need
my
premises.
I need premises for my business. What are some of the things that we should be thinking about as a startup or as a new business? What should I be thinking about out there?
Okay. I think maybe just to correct, I'm not an economist. I'm more of a marketer, consumer behaviorist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But when you start your own business, the most important thing that you need to look at is your value proposition. By that, I mean, what is it that you're going to be selling? For instance, just to give a small example, if you're going to have a supermarket as opposed to somebody who's going to have, you know, trading things online, your retail or at least your real estate needs are going to be different. So the most important thing that you need to look at is the value proposition. How do you get your raw materials in and how do you get them out? So within that space, you're going to be looking at critical things like who is your market? What kind of products or services are you going to be selling? Labor availability, and also the other more practical issues in terms of security in the case of warehouses and your shop floor and all that, and how accessible is it, the road market in all that aspect there. So in aspect, just to put it bluntly, that's what you need to look at. And another thing that we also need, that most SMEs forget, their pocket. How big is the pocket that they are going to have? Yes.
Well, I was going to say, for me, I guess the other question that I always ask is, how much space do you really need for? Because I think we always have this preconceived idea of how big something actually has to be. And yeah, I did an exercise once on how much space you needed in a workspace environment and what it looks like in different countries.
Yes.
And I was shocked at what I saw in some countries. I mean, if you look at the, you know, the Far East, the Malaysian countries and China and the likes, the workspace environment there is very different and is defined very differently to how it is in the West. You know, in the West, and I think, you know, I will never forget talking to somebody about new chairs for a building, and this person was from Europe. And they very calmly told me about a very specific chair with all the ergonomics and everything else. And when I looked at the price tag, this thing was about 10 times above our absolute highest price ceiling that we would even consider was the lowest entry point on that chair. And I looked at this and I went, okay, you know, and they thought nothing of saying, but this is the ergonomically correct way to seat your staff in your office. And price is not important because it's about ergonomics. And that's a very European and Western approach to office space and what you're doing.
I think also in addition to how much space and how fancy your space is, it's also how consistently do you need that space. And I'm sure, Richard, you're seeing, which Richard am I speaking to now? I'm so confused.
Richard A and Richard S. Richard A and Richard S, to make this easy.
But increasingly, we are starting to see that even in the retail space,
yes,
space is no longer a fixed thing for all businesses as it used to be before.
Yeah, definitely. You're correct about that. Yeah. Because you see, as our economy is also expanding and growing, there is increased pressure for both commercial and also non-commercial real estate. But for somebody that is starting out, usually what happens is people turn to or small businesses because they don't quite know their business. They also don't know their space requirements. Mm-hmm. The rule of thumb is try to shop around to see people that are within your business or at least where you think you will be within the next 12 to 24 months and try to find space that would enable you to do that. What would be easy, because if your business is still growing, you might not be, you know, privileged to have a lot of excess capital to finance space and all the things like that. So ideally, start small. And then grow as the business grows.
So I'm hearing you say, get out of the fantasy and into practicality.
Yes, well, indeed.
Yeah. Well, I interestingly had a conversation with somebody that we do a lot of work with.
Yes.
And she was mentioning to us that she is moving business premises again, was her choice of words, and she looked really
distressed
about that. I have heard the adage that says two moves equals one fire. Just burn it all and start again.
Yeah, they say getting moving house and moving business is as stressful as getting divorced or someone dying.
Believe me, it is. Yeah. It really is.
So moving frequently is not a good idea, but also right-sizing your space for your business is important. And knowing, you know, I mean, up front, it's really difficult to know how fast you're going to grow. So you can't just say, hey, well, I'm now going to take, I mean, let me use an example. I'm going to take space for 10 people because I'm now a team of three, but I'm going to be 10 at some point. Because when is that point?
Yeah.
You know, it could be 10 in 6 months' time. Mm-hmm. It could be 10 in 10 years' time. And it's very variable about the success of your business and how fast you grow.
The average rule of thumb, let's say we are working on that hypothetical three people. I think to double that, to say, look, I need, you know, extra space for an additional three. So that by the time you grow your business by 100%, you would have enough time to look at, okay, what exactly am I doing? Because sometimes when we start a business, you don't really know what you're doing. You don't know the business and you don't know yourself and how everybody interacts. So whatever number of employees or customers that you think, try to double that to say, all right, I'm expecting for a footprint of about 100 customers in a week or in a month. Just say, all right, for my real estate, it's going to be double that number. So 200 people would come in. And if you start off with four employees, office space for 8 to 10 employees would be sufficient for you. And that way, your budget will not be strained that much. Your customers will also not feel. And if there is a need for you to grow, at least you'll give your business time for it to grow. And then you could start to think of another space where you would go.
Now, I mean, I guess if I'm renting, so you've now got me into the space of, okay, I'm going to need to rent.
Indeed.
As a starting point.
Yep.
I mean, things like my lease terms. I mean, I shudder sometimes when I see how quickly people commit to things legally, and you kind of go, well, did you know what you were signing up for there? Do you realize that that's a three-year lease on a piece of property that's quite constrained and you've done your 4 to 8 people, but what happens when you're 16 people in 18 months' time? What are you going to do? You know, and I look at this and I go, okay, how did you think that one through legally, in terms of lease terms, lease conditions, things like that? What's your advice? How should people think about that?
In terms of that, it's always good when you're getting into legal issues, including your lease, to have a lawyer or somebody who has a little bit of legal background. Currently, there are so many companies that are offering these legal services for small businesses. Engage with one of those. But the key to it within the SME space is for you to negotiate with your landlord. Tell him, look, him or her, you know, that I'm just starting my, if you're starting your business, I'm just starting off my business. And this is what my projections look like. Because at a certain, when you do your business planning, I would assume you would have had time to sit with an accountant to map out some projections to say within the next 12, 24 months, this is how the business is going to grow. And also you would have time, though that accountant would also have had a bit of experience, at least with other businesses. And then they would be able to tell you that, look, these people in the transport business, for instance, this is how they grow. This is the rate of expansion which they usually experience. So within that, play open cards with your landlord. Tell him that this is the space that I need. I might, but I do not want to overcommit. And then that negotiation, do not underestimate the power of negotiating and playing open card. Because at the end of the day, you do not want to be moving every other month. Your business has doubled.
Yeah, I think there's such a high risk of let's call it constant movement in a very fast growing business, and then also the complete opposite of that, of thinking it's going to move quite quickly and then overcommitting. And in fact your worst scenario is the company starts growing quickly, you overcommit, or you commit based on your current projections and your current growth rate, and then something happens and it slows. And suddenly you're sitting with all this extra space.
And it can slow down.
So you've got to be thinking about all of those elements.
So it's a maze that you need to navigate very carefully on how are you going to get in when you get into the space here. And like in anything, you need good people to be able to advise you on what it is that you need
to do. So we often say this on the show, but we'll say it again.
Yep.
Free advice is exactly what you paid for it. Free, nothing. Make sure that you consult an expert in the space.
Yes.
Make sure you're speaking to your legal representative that's looking after your best interests when it comes to a legal contract, such as a lease.
Indeed.
Make sure that you've got your projections and you understand your numbers from your accountants. Make sure that you got those things wrapped up before you go and put pen to paper and commit to something that perhaps is going to be too large or too small.
Yeah, and I think people underestimate how complex commercial leases are. They're not the same as renting a property that you're going to live in.
Indeed.
In fact, there are some leases that get registered in the deeds office. And those are quite tricky.
Yes.
And when you bugger that one up, it's like losing property.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I guess for me, that gets to this whole question of, you know, in that commercial lease, you're going to see things like, you know, turnover clauses. You're going to see, you know, a cost per square meter, but then there's an op cost per square meter. I mean, I've often been party to conversations where people are trying to do comparisons, and you've got two leases from two different environments with two very different rental and lease structures, and people kind of get taken by the, well, this is the cost per square meter. But when you look at the total cost, you know, one gives you an allocation of X number of parking bays per square meter that you've rented. Another makes you pay per parking bay. Now, those are not the one and the same, and you need to know and understand how to do those equivalents. And just on that issue of parking, because it is always one of the big issues that people need to thinking about. Yes, for Richard. For Richard.
Which Richard now?
Richard Square.
Parking is a fundamental issue that you need to deal with in a commercial lease, yeah. particularly. Because yeah. not only do you have to handle the parking for your own staff, but you have to handle the parking for your clients. And I must say, if there's one thing in the world of property, commercial property, that I see often, it's a case of we've got a piece of property, we're here, we're there, wherever we are, and we don't have we've got the property, but we don't have enough parking.
Yeah,
that comes up time and time and time again.
And parking is part of your reception, your first brush with your clients.
Yeah, and yeah, if it's, you know, sorry, you have to go park there in the field at the back of the building.
With the mall opposite.
Yeah, or at the mall opposite, that just doesn't work well. Yeah. It doesn't work out well.
Like they say, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. So that parking is important, and also the liability that comes within the parking. So that also needs to be really looked at very, very carefully, yes.
And something else that I've recently become very acutely aware of is just the whole thing of commercial property relevant to body corporates that own. So just like you have a sectional title complex that owns residential, you can sectional title commercial property.
Indeed.
Then you have this body corporate that's now managing, say, a whole series of mini factories or whatever it may be. And yeah, unbelievably, if you think that you have fun in your residential body corporate, you have no idea the sports that happen in your commercial environment when everybody's fighting over parking and road signs and no parking areas and aesthetic appearance and all sorts of interesting stuff. So that's a little bit of a minefield for people out there. So yeah. I mean, let's just talk a little bit about the benefits of perhaps going out there and owning your building versus renting. Because, I mean, it's an obvious question that one has to ask is, at what point do I now start buying my property instead of paying somebody else rent?
Well, I think the simplest thing there is after you have really gotten a grip to understand your business and you do now understand the business cycles. As a rule of thumb, I think I would just say give your business about 3 to 4 years, then you know exactly how the seasons in your business go. In that time frame also, you as well as your business would have acquired a good credit rating. And then you at least when you go to the banks and financial institutions, you have credit rating and rental history that would enable you to go for buying your own property. So you get a chance to learn, because remember what we were talking about earlier, to say that you could be moving every other month. But now once you buy a piece of property, you don't want to be, you know, buying and selling a property every other month. It's more painful. It's more cumbersome when you do own the property as opposed to when you're renting. So there is a bit of advantages when you are renting. It gives you space, it gives you time to understand how the business works, and also your own business model. You can develop your own business model, and then within that time frame, you now put together resources to say, I'm in this space. And that general 3-4 year period, because that's where most businesses have teething problems. So after you are past that threshold, then you could say, okay, I'm now comfortably set in my business, let me go. You then develop a track record with your clientele, with the banks, and you'll be in a comfortable space there.
Okay. So some of the things that one should be considering before you buy, I mean, for me, the biggest one is the tying up of your own capital. I mean, you're going to have to put something down to buy into a property. Obviously, the other side of this is you're committing often with a financial institution around the purchase of a property. So there's a long-term commitment that's happening. Mm-hmm. Often commercial loans for property are done over a 10-year period, unlike a mortgage, which is on a private home, which is normally 20. Commercial property tends to be 10-year term.
Loan period.
And then it also is a function of you generally have to put down at least a 20% deposit, if not perhaps 30%.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, depends.
The deposit quite hefty.
The deposits on commercial is extensive.
It is hefty.
And it is very dependent on where the property is located and the tenancy, you know, owner-tenanted, for example, they'll tend to be a little bit more lenient, probably go, you know, only 1% to 20% deposit. But if you've got tenants in there and they're not quite comfortable with the tenant profile, you could find yourself having to put in a slightly bigger deposit.
Yes.
I mean, with all of those elements, are people still buying commercial property for themselves? I mean, and obviously the big players out there, they'll buy their own head offices and their factories and the likes. But, I mean, are people not just outsourcing this problem to the growth points and the redefined property funds of the world?
Yes, or even these, is it Regus? He's also
Regus.
Yes. Okay.
It's also getting into that space. I think primarily the issue here is the process, and also, like you're saying, that 20% to 30% deposit, and it's just not 20% of maybe a million. It's 20% of a substantial amount, and then you start a business. Your business is not in a very, might not be in a very strong financial position. And then you find yourself, you need to pay up this amount. And then there are also other additional costs that come with the process of acquiring that property. So once you do find a property, it's almost going to be like a marriage. It's a marriage that you need to be committed to, and you need to be, as close to 100% sure that you are going to be there, you know, for your business.
It's like polygamy. The business is the one marriage and the property is the other marriage.
Yes. So once you are in that polygamous marriage,
okay,
you have to stay there.
Okay, let's not
it's
go
a different show.
That's a different show on Glyph Central. Yeah, I know. But I do think, and maybe as we close out and we've got 5 minutes to have this conversation, is what smaller startups and smaller businesses can do in terms of keeping their costs low. And I mean, we spoke about the Regus option, where you sign up for what they call, and I've done this, so I've got a bit of personal experience with this, the beloved, what I call the virtual office experience, where you're getting somebody to basically answer your telephones for you and be your front of house. You have a business address, you have a place to hold meetings, and you have a place to go and work should you need that space. And a lot of those type of facilities are then available to you on a, let's call it, on a consumption basis. As you need it, you consume and you pay for it as you go. Great concept, well positioned in terms of locations from what I've experienced with particularly places like the Business Center, Regus, the Business Exchange. I'm trying to mention a number of players.
The Slow Lounge.
There are a number of participants out there who are in this space and who are actually able to provide the services to you. There are also services out there that will merely just answer your telephones for you. And that's a great option if you don't want to have people calling cell numbers and the likes. The one comment I would make, and it is linked to this, is any business, the first thing they should be doing is getting themselves an 0861 or 0860 number, because the reality is that you don't want to be moving phone numbers when you're moving offices. If you, with one virtual office space, for example, and you wish to move somewhere else, and I've had to do this myself, I'd chosen a particular location. I liked the location, and the people were friendly and it all worked. But I didn't go to that office all that often because of the traffic to get there. I chose instead to work from one of the other locations. And what started happening was people would look at my address on my letterhead and set up meetings for me in the middle of the traffic. And so what I had to do was I had to move my offices to a place which was more centrally located for me in terms of physical presence, rather than a location that I just liked to use because it made,
because of the address.
The address. And so it's really important to make sure that your business address and your, let's call it, physical presence does tie together quite closely. And then the other element is making sure that the service that you're using works for your company.
Yeah. And that assumes that you have, I mean, so different businesses obviously are going to have very, very different needs. And service businesses can perhaps have that flexibility.
Yes.
And others a bit less.
Yeah. You see, like what he's saying, it just goes to the old adage that location, location, location is the key. So within that, maybe to just respond to what you were asking about how can you manage your costs when you have a small business, I think the at least three options that I can think of. The first one is the home office is depending on the business. Anyway, all of these here, they are all dependent on what kind of business you are running. The home office is also quite, it's a practical option. The other one also is you could, rather than having one huge location, if you are a manufacturing business, so your selling point where your customers come, is it could be in an upmarket area. Yeah. Remember, you have to manage your brand quite carefully. Yeah. Where you do your production could be in a less expensive area. So all you need then is somebody comes in, so you have a small showroom. So, okay, I like this table. I like that piece of equipment. But your manufacturing plant could be in some way where it is a bit cheaper.
Mm.
And then anyway, when you finish the production, the delivery truck does not even need to come to where you are selling. It just goes straight to the customer. So that's another option which you could...
Yeah, that's an important thing to bear in mind.
Yes. So big companies, even these multinational companies, they do that. Mm. They have their factories in Asia, but they market elsewhere in Europe and in the US. So you could also do it at a micro level here.
At a micro level.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And also the lastly, e-commerce.
Mm.
Yeah. You sell online.
Mm.
And then you almost try to get rid of your needs for real estate. Mm. Yeah.
And I can also serve online.
Yeah, and you can serve online.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Richard, thank you very much for joining us. We really do appreciate you being here and sharing your insights with us. Next up, we're going to get a little bit more practical with a panel discussion on property investments. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.